The Public Square.
Oh, right. This velvety sandpaper be back just before you say stop. And The Public Square is with you together. Rotimi Sankore and I are looking at the presidential primaries for the political parties in The Public Square's blockbuster edition. We should have done this earlier, but then INEC decided to push the date forward so that the parties could have the opportunities after they had requested for INEC for an extension by a week of the deadline, and now they have the candidates. And so we have the opportunity to have a look at the process, which Ayo began at the top, just before the top of the hour. Now we're going to have a look at what those parties and candidates have on offer. Don't forget, on WhatsApp, 08095975805, and then on social media at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awoko Obo. All right, so Rotimi, we have some talking to do. Quite a number of points we have to look at before the audience gets in. So we might as well just get into it straight away, Rotimi.
Yes, well, before we look at the lists of the parties that now have presidential candidates, it's important to underline that the first set of issues raised don't all necessarily apply to the ruling party alone. We saw some of this in the PDP convention. However, everybody needs to understand that ruling parties are held to higher standard. Why? Because a ruling party at federal level or state level or local government, whatever they do or do not do, has a bigger impact on the population than a party that is not in power. So in the case of Nigeria, for instance, if a ruling party omits to put a family planning budget line in a budget for a particular year, the consequences on future generations is catastrophic. All the other 17 parties can't do that. They are not in power. Because any time this kind of issue is raised, you know, in any country, you see ruling party members doing whataboutism. Hey, what about the other people? Mm. Well, the other people are not in government. There is only one party in government at a time.
Right.
And that party has to be more responsible than the other. When the others come in, they will face the same level of scrutiny. Mm. But please, no whataboutism. What about the other people? Whatever they do doesn't impact on the citizens. Anyway, having said that, we can look at the parties that have presidential candidates.
Yeah.
16 of them. Yes, 16 of them so far. May I run through quickly in alphabetical order?
Right.
Correct alphabetical order. Yeah, at the convention, everybody would have noted that the alphabetical order some of the parties use doesn't work. Okay, so starting with Accord Party, their presidential candidate is Christopher Imumolen. Action Alliance, AA, Hamza Al-Mustafa. If he sounds familiar to you, it's because that was Abacha's chief security officer. Well, should such people be president of the country, when it is time to vote, you make up your mind. African Action Congress, AAC, Omoyele Sowore, a bit familiar to some people. Africa Democratic Congress, ADC, Dumebi Kachiku. If you think you are hearing wrongly and Kingsley Mohalu's name is what you are expecting to hear there, well, something else happened at the party convention? All Progressives Congress, APC, Bola Ahmed Tinubu. If you don't know this one by now, you are not on the same planet with us. All Progressive Grand Alliance, Chekwas Okorie, otherwise known as Chekwas to those that know him, known as Chekwas to those that know him. Allied People's Movement, APM, Yusuf Maman Dantele. Boots Party, BP, Sunday Adenuga. Labour Party, LP, Peter Obi. Again, this is one of those candidates that if you don't know which party is going to represent in the elections by now, you are not on the same planet. National Rescue Movement, NROM, Okudili Nwa Anyajike, New Nigeria People's Party, NNPP, Musa Kwakwanso, former governor of Kano, People's Democratic Party, PDP, Atiku Abubakar. Again, I assume most people know this. People's Redemption Party, PROP, Kola Abiola. If his name sounds familiar, your guess is as good as mine. Why? Social Democratic Party, SDP, Adewole Adebayo. Young Progressive Party, YPP, Malik Ado Ibrahim. Zenith Labour Party, ZLP, Dan Nwanyawu. I think I had him say at the end of that convention that I was watching,
right,
that they are changing their name midway through the river to Zenith Progressive Alliance.
To avoid,
I'm not exactly sure. Yes. I'm not exactly sure the name change we do, but if you'd like to go over it again, please look at any of our Twitter handles, at the program handle at Public Square NG, at my handle at Rotimi Sankore, at Nigeria Info FM, or at Ahoho Obo. And the 16 parties that we have, their presidential candidates, you can go through it as much as you like. And you can react to it if you like. Now, just to mention that INEC announced yesterday that they are giving all the parties 8 days to submit the names of their running mates, that is the vice presidential slot.
Right.
8 days from yesterday to submit the names, and that without a valid VP, candidacy is invalid. So any party that cannot submit the name of a vice president by next Thursday, their presidential candidates and the outcome of their primaries in effect will be null and void. So stay tuned next Friday to 99.3 at 4 p.m. We will be bringing you the names of the vice presidential candidates, as well as serious reporting from Ekiti, where Ahoho will be next Friday, reporting live from Ekiti on the Ekiti election. So don't miss next Friday as well. So Ahoho, those are the names of the party. Right. I mean, you and I know this already. The exercise is mainly for the benefit of the audience that may not know.
Exactly. And it does provide at least an opportunity for people to know that beyond the APC and PDP, there are other parties there for them to have a look at, and not say that we are only talking about the big parties. So Rotimi, the challenges facing Nigeria, these are discussions we have often on public square, economy, inequality, insecurity, unemployment, underdevelopment. They did not come up significantly at the primaries. Aspirants spent more time talking about every other thing else but the problems facing the country. Do you see any of the parties having solutions to these highlighted problems, Rotimi?
To be fair, no, not at this point. Not at this point. There is no manifesto from any of the parties, no clear manifesto from any of the candidates. So if the election was tomorrow, I would be scratching my head and wondering what to do. And it's a big shame, the reason being that in any country where there is a healthy democracy, in the run-up to the party primaries, you have an idea what every candidate stands for. In fact, the aspirants, in fact, represent different wings of the party, different factions of the party. Factions are not necessarily a bad thing because they give you an indication what the debate is inside a political party. So there could be party A and tendency one or faction one thinks that that political party should offer free education and free health. Tendency two or faction two thinks, well, nothing free is good, so it may not be such a good idea, and so forth. And then the leaders of the two tendencies or factions put themselves forward at the primary. And through that process, you can tell which way the party is leaning. Is the party in support of free education? I mean, look at the ASUU problem. That debate didn't come up at all. But that's one of the biggest issues facing the young people in the country now. It would have been interesting, good for our democracy, for any of the parties to have an aspirant saying, oh, look, this $200 billion a year that was agreed with ASUU, this is really important for the young people, because $200 billion a year is not really so much money when you break it down by 2 million tertiary students. Absolutely. There are countries that spend $10,000 per student in tertiary. I mean, this is barely $100. So he thinks Nigeria, he or she thinks Nigeria should do it. The other person would have then said, oh, no, no, no. In fact, he or she doesn't think everybody deserves university education. And that people need to pay through their nose and so forth like that. Then when the party votes for the aspirant, we know, okay, this is the program that the party believes in. We didn't see that. So now we don't even know which way any of the parties are going. I know some people believe at this point, if social media, you know, is to be believed, that Peter Obi can solve all the problems in the country.
Right.
Well, with all respect to his credentials, and we have to interrogate all the parties with the same intensity.
Right.
No favoritism. He left one party for another, and at the party convention, Patu Tomi stepped down. Was there a debate? No. Are there things he has been saying on TV that he can do? Yes. But are those the party's position at this point? Is it in the manifesto? No. And it is the party's manifesto that the candidate promotes. So as much as a lot of the young people are looking towards him now, the Labour Party has not put forward a manifesto. In fact, we don't know what kind of manifesto. We did put forward a pro-Labour manifesto, which is pro-ordinary people, you know, in line with what Labour parties do globally. you know, free health, free education, right, affordable transport. You know, is that the manifesto that the Nigerian Labour Party will put forward? We don't know yet.
A good point with me that because these points ought to have been debated, and based on this, the delegates would have voted who had superior argument. It ties back to what I was saying about whether or not whatever they said at the end of the day helped them decide where they were going to vote, or was it because of so-called monies they received or swayed them in one direction over the other. But Ruth, we're going to go on another break, and we come back. We still have points to look at, to talk about identity politics, ethnicity, religion. How is that shaped with the way that the presidential candidates have emerged? And the all-important vice presidential picking, there's a committee has been set up left, right and center in deciding who should be vice presidential candidate. So Ruth, let's go on that break. Right, we're back 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Interest per annum with Fair Save from Fair Money Microfinance Bank.
Love is unconditional. Nothing serves this love better than a bowl of Indomie. So, show some love with Indomie.
Relax, recharge, and take a break this summer. Find the best summer holiday deals to Dubai, London, Cairo, Florida, and many other amazing cities on wakanow.com. We've got you covered. Book now on wakanow.com or visit any of our travel centers near you. Take a break. Pick a city. Wakanow. Let's go.
Hey, Afana. You start your day like this. Everything is going well until the unexpected happens. Then, hey, the bus boss again. If you get our Flexi Comprehensive Motor Insurance Plan, you can save yourself the and the painful cost of repairing the damage to your vehicle. For as low as 15,000 naira a year, if someone bashes your car, we pay to get it fixed. Visit www.hezinsurance.com or call 0700 434 7764 to get the Hez Flexi Motor Plan. Hez Insurance, your simple, smart protection.
I
strength I need every time that I look into your eyes.
Love is unconditional. Nothing serves this love better than a bowl of Indomie. So, show some love with Indomie.
Welcome back to your number one talk, news, and sports station. This is Nigeria in Focus.
This is an infomercial.
This announcement is for our listeners that are on any network in Lagos apart from NTN and have been experiencing difficulty connecting with loved ones even when you call us in this studio. I have good news for you. You can port your number to MTN and enjoy superior network quality with crystal clear voice quality and still retain your phone number. To get started, visit the nearest MTN store with your NIN.
Infomercial. Yet, breaking news, updates, and the best of talk.
Women have to work twice, even thrice as hard for them to get things that just come so naturally to a lot of men who feel that leadership is their right.
We're in prisons for how many years?
For 6 years, 8 months.
Were you going to court from prisons then?
Yes, but before I started court at all, it took me 2 years.
Just being in prison?
Yes.
Without your case even to start
in
at all?
In confinement.
You were there?
Yeah.
Here on your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
If it is real, I sure can see. Gotta start looking out for me. Had enough. My heart won't take the more. I don't see that I don't care.
The numbers are out and Nigeria Info is your number one station for talk.
Number one.
Listen on the air and online via mobile app. Search Nigeria Info FM on Google Play Store and iOS App Store. Download the app and have us with you wherever you go. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Information at its peak. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm listening.
The Public Square.
It's 2 minutes past five on 99.3 Nigeria Info on the Public Square today. We have a blockbuster episode, and that's because the political parties have now decided who their standard bearers will be in next year's general election and are in the process of uploading the victors in the primaries from now all the way till the 17th of this month. And we are having a discussion about the process. Rotimi and I, Elia Ayobe, also talked about many of the fine points and sometimes also confusing points. Remember, you can talk with us on social media at Nigeria Info FM at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore at Agogo Obo. If you go on to WhatsApp, it's 0809-597-5805, where you can drop the messages. Make sure the messages are short so that we can go through in quick time. So, Rotimi, we have just about two more talking points for us to look at. The candidates have emerged.
Yes.
This is a question around identity politics.
Yes, please. One more line on this issue of program, manifesto, and ideology.
Right.
People really need to understand how serious this matter is, because it's the key to solving the collapse of the economy, the rising inequality, the rising insecurity, the 44% or so youth unemployment, and the massive underdevelopment around the country. So this is the thing. And, you know, we'll bring you more figures on World Population Day around July 11, all the latest global data. But everyone needs to understand, Nigeria is about to make the biggest youth to adult transition in its entire history. The biggest youth to adult transition in the history of Nigeria is about to happen. 43% of Nigeria's population is under the age of 15. And that's just over 89 million youth. 89 million. They're about to transit to adulthood very rapidly. So in the next 15 years, the population equivalent to that of Germany, roughly 80 million, will become adults almost all at once. Are there primary schools, secondary schools, tertiary institution, vocational training? Can any of the political parties see this on the horizon? And as it happens, you know, like year on year, because every year, several million will be transiting to 16, 17, 18. Now, you know, so if they are not ready for them, what we are seeing now, I'm saying, is insecurity will be like picnic. It will be like picnic. At the same time, those 16 to 24 years old, which is the bulk of what you see on social media today, that's about 39 million to 40 million. In other words, 19-20% of the population. Now, these are young people that are supposed to be in school. Roughly 40 million between the ages of 16 to 24. They should be going through some tertiary education or the other. And many of them are not. Many of them are not. Those in tertiary institution in Nigeria are about 2 million. So are we saying that the 36 to 37 million that are not in tertiary, you know, by the time they cross over to 25 years up, and they don't have any skills, training, job, I mean, that is where the first wahala is going to start from, because already they are angry. Those under 15 are all not yet angry, but it will happen very rapidly. So any country that witnesses a huge youth to adult transition very rapidly like that is always unstable, unless the government at all level has prepared. So you see all this instability across West Africa, Mali, Burkina Faso, you know, the Sahel, Niger. That's what is happening. In fact, in some of those countries like Niger next door, their population will double quicker than that of Nigeria in a very short time. But the thing with Nigeria is that Nigeria has extra fault lines along, and that is our next talking point, along ethnicity, religion, geography, and can those fault lines withstand that pressure? Can the fault lines withstand the pressure of the 16 to 24 year olds that are roughly 39, 40 million growing suddenly into what otherwise should be the time when they're able to maintain themselves, and then they can't? And then the 89, 90 million that are under 15 and that will start transiting over the next period. So the next 4 years is going to be decisive, the next 8 years even more decisive. So this is why this question of party program manifesto, do they understand what they are letting themselves in for? Do they understand what they need to do at the national, state, and local government levels? Or some of them think it will be politicking as usual. If they don't understand it, good night, Nigeria. So young people especially need to interrogate the candidates and the parties and push them. What are you offering us? And don't forget that already there is 100 million living in multidimensional poverty.
Right.
Yes. A lot of people are in pain. A lot of people are suffering. Many people working, after the first week of the month, their salary has run out. If you are under 30,000 a month in this country, man, I'm really praying for you. Even under 100,000 a month, I'm really praying for you. So a lot of things to be taken into consideration, which if are not done, is not going to end well. So that's why all these questions need to be asked. Any politician is asking to be employed by the citizens, not the impression they are giving that it is their right or their turn, or that they know better than you.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. Very, very valid points there, Rotimi. But there's also identity politics. And interestingly, this has been a major component of the entire process. People have argued and have disagreed over ethnicity and religion, you know, in the way the candidates have emerged. And going forward also too, you've had things around whether it's Muslim, Christian, all of those things have been thrown into the mix.
Yes, and this is really sad for Nigeria, because now the what is described as the political class has played a fast one on many citizens. And you can see many citizens are falling for it. This idea that if the president, the governor, the senator, whoever is from my village, somehow it is better than if he or she is from the other person's village.
Right.
And I keep asking people, go to Ota there and tell me that Obasanjo, being a military dictator up to 1979, and then being elected as president in 1999, right, tell me it has transformed Ota into El Dorado, or in Jonathan's village where there is no road going there, seriously. Or Katsina that is almost overrun by bandits. I don't understand people that do this identity politics. Oh, you know, it has to be my ethnicity. Oh, it has to be my religion. While there is an argument to be made for diversity and representation, it has to be tied to competence. So there are countries in the world, say, for instance, Switzerland or Canada, where because of the diversity, either language or otherwise,
right,
there is virtually, and I'm talking seriously, there is virtually a rotating situation where any of the diverse components of the country has to put forward leadership. But we are expected to put forward the most competent person of that demographic or diverse area which is asked to nominate. Not this kind of thing we have here where people just speak broadly about north, south, 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 you know. Okay, so now let's take for example now just this last week's Congress.
Yeah.
Everybody can see that Tinubu is facing a conundrum. Pick a Muslim northerner, and there will be possible backlash of Muslim ticket, pick a Christian Northerner and face the possibility that, in quotes, the other so-called big political party, of which their candidate is Atiku, can then play ethnic card and snatch the Muslim Northern vote. Now, that is on the table. But when people are talking North-South, people forget that, one, there is diversity within all this geography. I mean, let me just give an example.
Right.
So, and this is something that I didn't even know until this week. And I am not an ignorant person. So, Babaji Lawal, the former secretary to the former SGF,
yes,
secretary to the government of the Federation, that he, you know, is kind of infamously known for the grass-cutting scandal.
Yeah.
He says he's not guilty and it is in court. So please don't call and start making any argument about it.
Mm.
You know, he has offered his explanation. Google is your friend. He's in court. Everybody is innocent until guilty. Now, it turns out that the man is a pastor.
Yes.
And his middle name is David. Many people who don't have known that. Now, he is one of the possible contenders for being Tinubu's VP. So when people say not, most people would have just assumed that Babaji Lawal is a Northern Muslim. Until suddenly realizing that not only is his middle name David, but he's a qualified pastor. In other words, he is trained as a pastor. He didn't, not somebody going to a church every Sunday and just assuming the nomenclature himself. Yeah. He is qualified as a pastor. So that's an example of how identity politics can seriously be misunderstood.
Uh-huh.
For that matter, his successor as secretary to the government of the Federation, when you see him on TV dressed in a certain way and you hear his name, you don't quite appreciate that the man goes to church every Sunday.
Mm.
That is Mr. Mustafa.
Yes.
So, you know, this assumption that if somebody is from one part of the country, they automatically belong to one religion, or if they belong to one religion, they are from one part of the country, you know, overly identifying with, you know, small segments of identity, all of which, if you put together, does nothing to improve governance. So if the person is Christian or Muslim, how does it improve governance if the person is in office? If the person is Yoruba, Igbo, or Hausa, now, why is this really important? Because the three most high-profile candidates, Tinubu from the Southwest, Peter Obi from the Southeast, and Atiku Abubakar from the Northeast, are of different different ethnicity. Both Tinubu and Atiku are Muslims. So if people now start voting, oh, you know, Igbos have been cheated or marginalized, which is true. Any sensible person knows this since the Civil War. It shouldn't even be up for debate. Igbos have been marginalized. Oh, on that basis, I'm going to vote for Peter Obi. And the issue, he is competent, happens to be Igbo, and therefore is a worthy candidate. If that is how we are going to vote, then the vote in 2023 may be split largely into three ethnic blocks, and then the first two will be pushed into a runoff election. Now, when the top two are pushed into a runoff election, are we going to vote for them again based on ethnicity or religion? And how is that going to improve anything in the country? So it takes us back to the previous talking point about manifesto, program, ideology, philosophy, and so forth like that. Nigerians really need to be careful about overemphasizing identity politics, because one, it does not improve governance or development, but two, it can lead to conflicts. It can lead to conflict over small things without improving the country. So, I mean, we can leave it at that for now. We are still in the early stages of the process, but it's important to point that out.
Right.
That this is one of the potential fallout of the emergence of the candidates.
Right. And it's not exactly yet business finished for the parties. They still will have to select their vice president candidate for their presidential candidate. Quite a number of parties have begun the process with those meetings happening behind closed doors, but we'll know eventually everything by this time next week, when that deadline for the submission will be over. So how do you think, again, this will impact the presidential race, the choice of who the vice president to the presidential candidate?
Well, we've sprinkled on this a little bit, so we shouldn't overflog it too much, especially since we will know who they are in any case by this time next Friday. But the important thing there to look at is this.
Right.
In developed countries where democracy is deeper and the economy is stronger, industrialized and so forth, yes, they do make all these considerations on geography, occasionally religion, but there are also bigger considerations. So, for instance, if your presidential candidate is a man of the people, he shakes hands, kisses babies, waves, everybody loves him or her, and so forth like that, but he or she knows nothing about economics, shouldn't he or she be looking for at least somebody that understands industrialization, data, figures, employment, and so forth, instead of just looking to balance the geography or the religion? I mean, shouldn't that be a factor? Of course it should be a factor. I mean, look at when Obama became Democratic candidate. He was just first time in the Senate. A young law professor, he had been in the State House of Assembly. Before that, he was a community organizer. He went to Harvard. And everybody thought, oh, this is a pipe dream. First-term guy in the Senate, contending in the primary with Hillary Clinton, whose husband had been president. She had been Secretary of State, a formidable person in her own right. Hillary was not running because her husband had been president, even though some people may suggest that there's dynastic politics. But as a person, as an individual, she has a formidable intellect, same credentials, same education as her husband. Then there was Biden, who four decades old in the Senate, versus Barack, less than 4 years in the Senate. But when the party constituents, delegates, everybody listened to the direction each one of them wanted to take the party.
Right.
They voted for Barack. Barack then thought, well, I'm a black guy. The white nationalists won't want me. So obviously he needs a white vice president. But what kind of white vice president does he need? Is it just anybody? Biden had certain credentials. Long history in the Senate. So he could do things Barack couldn't even understand in terms of bridge building with the parties, policy, legislature, and so forth like that. So these are other attributes that need to be considered. If you ask me, I will add gender to the mix. If you ask me, I'll ask gender to the mix, because, I mean, the whole idea that women are just excluded from the discussion is nonsensical. Are we saying we can't find a qualified woman that can be vice president, that understands economics, policy, and all those kind of things? Is that part of the equation? Obviously not at this moment. So all these issues really should be on the table. Are they? Not all are. We'll know by next week. Again, the problem is that the party members don't have an influence in this process. So it's going to be deal-making, you know, in the case of the APC, the Northwest governors especially, and the Northern governors, general people like Ganduje Orufo that delivered block vote for Tinubu, are probably going to hold him hostage in quotes and say, well, we are, you know, in the case of Atiku, he is going to face problem. If he snubs Wike, would that be an issue? If Wike doesn't endorse the person he picks, would that be an issue? If he doesn't end up picking Ihedioha, will he both feel marginalized and so forth? And as for Peter Obi, there is even no hint of what he's going to do yet. Never mind the other 13. So the country is left guessing as to what rabbit any of them may pull out of the hat that has no bearing on what the country may need, but may have bearing on the backroom, on the table politics. But let's see what will happen over the next 1 week and how that will influence the voters. But I hope it is not overshadowed by identity politics of ethnicity and religion and little program philosophy or ideology.
Absolutely, and it's something we look forward to. So when we come back, we're going to open the phone line so that people can have the opportunity to have their say in the square, and I'll let you in all the information you need to know on social media as well as the lines to call in when we come back from this break on our blockbuster episode, which is looking at the primaries and how the candidates have emerged. Please stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is The Public Square.
Nigeria Info. It's 24 minutes to 6, and this is the home stretch on Public Square, where we are going to open the phone lines now so we can get your thoughts, questions, comments, inquiries. Pack everything into one phone speech band so that we can have your reactions. And you can also talk with us offline on WhatsApp, well, online rather, on WhatsApp, 08095975805, just messages, 08095975805. And then on social media, Nigeria Info, as well as in Public Square. So, Rotimi, I think we can go straight to the phone lines now to hear from the people. Ladies can also call on this line, 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. Sorry about that. Do call back. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Shegun.
All right, Shegun, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling from my papa.
Excellent. Go on, please.
Thank you, sir. Let me be quick. Atiku Abubakar and Ahmed Tinubu, they are not good candidates to govern this nation, Nigeria. That is what is going on right now. We youths, we are mobilizing ourselves. The fact is this. All youths in this country, both outside Igbo youth, but they are going to vote for Peter Obi. As we are announcing the winner, they may not. What I'm trying to tell you now is this. Atiku Abubakar, being the first VP to build a refinery out of this country, Southern Sotomi. Now, Tinubu, who has pocketed the legation, does he want to go to Atoros to begin the wee-wee there? I'm trying to tell you now is this. All youths in this country, we are united now. We are no longer, you are Igbo, you are Hausa, you are Yoruba. We all are going to vote for Peter Obi. If they like, let them accord that vote to him.
All right, thank you very much. Well, it's your vote that will count at the end of the day. So the more your chances.
Well, actually, more importantly,
right.
I think that if anybody calls and thinks it is important to say that they prefer a particular candidate or not.
Yeah.
It's probably more positive to say this is what you think your candidate can do better.
Right, exactly.
Rather than say things about
the other
candidates, yeah. which may not be true.
Yeah.
And you know, if you say something and you don't present any evidence
right.
to back it up, I mean,
Right, Retibi. Exactly. The thing you said about people not even knowing the manifestos of their candidate. So you end up saying, I will go for this candidate, but you're not even confident enough to think that because of the strong, unique points of that candidate, it will be enough to win an election. And you keep thinking that the election will be rigged in favor of the others. You know, it's... It's an unfortunate position to be many times in.
Look, the best thing to do always is, if you believe in a candidate, campaign for the candidate,
right.
vote for the candidate, mobilize people to defend the candidate's vote. Don't forget, we have seen in this country more than once, that is why some states are in off-cycle election, including Anambra, where Peter Obi was governor.
Right.
Where other people were declared winner,
right.
and the tribunal looked at the validly cast votes
right.
and said, no, that's not the winner. That other person won.
Right.
Yeah, or in some cases, it was primary wahala, like right. in Rivers, mm-hmm. you know, with Amechi and so forth. So, right. you know, please don't call and say, will they declare, will they support?
Right.
And more importantly, don't call and say, this person stole that, and you don't have any evidence from, you know, a proper investigation to back it up. Hearsay is not allowed, even in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, very true. And so everything Rotimi says is very true. I mean, I was in Ondo State when Olusegun Mimiko became the governor of Ondo State with not a major party. He went with Labour Party then, and you know, clinched victory. So let's get back to the phone lines. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Tolu Lokwe, and I'm calling
from... Tolu Lokwe, go ahead, but I suspect that your line is failing. Are you still there? All right, she's gone. I guess that's much. Hello and good evening.
Please call back.
Yeah, call back. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening. Shaku Maku.
Hey, Makushi. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
You have Taiwo, and I'm calling from Magodo.
All right, Taiwo, go ahead.
Mr. Sankore, I'm very happy for your
Hello.
This evening. You are generous.
Thank
and
you.
With us. Thank you. As for me, I'm a youth, and I have my PPC already. So I know my candidates, and I know the manifesto of my candidate that I'm voting for.
Mm.
So some people, they are just there. They are using Twitter poll.
Mm.
They are using Twitter poll to believe maybe their candidate can be the president of Nigeria. It's not that way. You cannot use a Twitter poll to determine who will be the president of this our great nation. And one thing I want to say about the youth is that
right.
I had a report that today maybe how some youth break into Tafalabalewa Square maybe due to the concert coming up tomorrow.
I'll clarify thinking, that when you're done.
Yes, right. No problem. My thinking is, what are these youth doing all this while?
Right.
Why is it now?
Mm.
At least I got my PBC, let me just say, 8 years ago.
Mm.
What are these youths doing now? I watched the video online.
Did you say 8 years?
That is 9 minutes.
Right. So I was wondering, you got your PBC when you said 8 years ago?
Yes.
Does it have biometric?
How old are you now?
Hello?
Oh, okay.
How old are you now?
All right. Oh dear. He didn't. He lost.
Well, I'm just curious.
I'm wondering
if he got his PVC 8 years ago and he's a youth. Well, maybe he got it when he was 20. Who knows?
So the Tafawa Balewa Square, I was in TVS earlier on, and I saw people scaled the fence on the other side just to get in because they wanted to do this registration as quickly as possible. But unfortunately, the INEC officials, they were overwhelmed. So it put a stop to the process. The process should have gone on to like 6 p.m. today, but by noon, they had stopped working. And it was unfortunate because I saw people who had come from very, very far away because they thought that if they would get there, like we announced over the days, that they will do their registration. But unfortunately, disorganized. You have people looking for to collect their PVCs, people who want to register, people who want to transfer, all manner of things going on there. So turned out to be a fiasco.
Does this suggest that there is an INEC capacity issue? I mean, never mind whether there is last minute rush or not.
Yes.
Does it suggest that there is an INEC capacity issue that needs to be addressed?
Yes, I think there's a capacity issue here because so a lot of the people who came, I saw people who came from Festac. You know, Festac has been notorious for the... And the lady said, you know what? Festac is even more organized than this place. And I was embarrassed because this was supposed to be the showpiece leading to tomorrow's event. So they have the same problems with the other areas where they are not able to identify in lines people who are coming to transfer their voting records, people who want to change this, change that. So it's the same problem there. And meanwhile, they have a lot of machines there, you know. So I thought probably it would have been easier for them. But going by the numbers I saw outside the square and inside the square, looking at close to 1,000 people, they couldn't handle them.
I mean, it's a real shame because there's been a huge drive for youth turnout.
Yes.
And it's really important that because this election, more than any other, will decide the future of the youth of Nigeria, and many of the youth are first-time voters, it's really crucial that INEC strengthens capacity to register and process. And in somewhere like Lagos, where you keep hearing hints of voter suppression, maybe some people from a particular part, you know, their path to registration is not being as easy as it should. Mm. You know, INEC has to come out and make an extra effort to debunk any suggestions that people from any parts are being suppressed or it's being made difficult for them. I mean, we don't need those kind of issues now.
Yes.
We don't need those kind of issues at all.
Yes. INEC must be able to mirror the standard at the state headquarters in Yaba, where the exercise has been seamless all across the state, so that you can't have people say that we're going to go to Yaba because in Yaba it's a lot easier for them than in Jegunle or in Ikorodu or any of the parts of town. But I think we have just about, we can take in two more calls, I think.
All right.
Hello and good evening.
Hello?
What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Good evening. My name is AGK Ozemenam.
AGK Ozemena. Go ahead, please.
Ozo. I know that in this election, everybody has his own candidates. I know that the youth are speaking. Everybody is talking about Peter Obi. But my concern is that even Peter Obi candidature is not assured. Because I'm hearing a lot of crisis in Labour Party. I'm hearing that they have...
Please, can I just say that INEC has clarified... INEC has put out a statement saying...
The position of Labour Party.
INEC has put out a statement saying... INEC has put out a statement saying...
Wait, Rotimi, he can't hear you.
Yes,
So let him finish, then we'll clarify. So AGK, just round up and we'll clarify.
Okay. Then, you see, in this country, you know, Labour Party does not have enough structure. I know that people are saying, no, it's people that are the structure. But this is Nigeria. Past experience have shown that what is mushroom parties, they don't win election. They'll keep making the... But at the end of the day, the winner will come from two big parties. either APC or PDP.
All right, AGK. So, Rosemary, I think you just clarify the Labour Party position with INEC.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I mean, INEC has issued a statement saying that to the best of their understanding, there is only one Labour Party primary that was held, and that is the primary that produced Peter Obi as Labour candidate. So if other people held their own primary, you wonder one mango tree somewhere, INEC doesn't know about it. That's the statement from INEC. It's not my personal opinion. It's just important to clarify so that somebody doesn't mislead millions of people with what he thinks.
Hmm.
So INEC says there is one Labour Party recognized, and that is the primary that produced Peter Obi. I mean, that's straightforward.
Right.
There is no need for contention. If the other people don't agree, they can go to court.
All right. So we're out of time, and messages on what's flooding in. Rotimi has also said if it's possible, we can get INEC in here so they can do, we can talk with INEC before the end of registration. But I've been also speaking with the director of voter education, putting across the questions and also suggestions. Like a suggestion I see here saying, I think they can separate the task. Out of 30 stands they have at TBS, stand 1 to 5, replacement of damaged cards. Stand 6 to 10, cards revalidation. Cards 11 to, stand 11 to 30, fresh registration. Etc. And I agree with you. They should, because what I saw there, it's everyone is trying to do everything in the same stand. So you have people having to wait unnecessarily for long hours, and they will have to do that. Thank you very much for your contribution. But Rotimi, we're out of time.
Yes, I mean, if you have any questions, Aho is the INEC expert. He's at Aho Obo on Twitter. Yes, I can help with general issues. I'm at Rotimi Sankore. And of course, you can follow the program and the station at Public Square NG and at Nigeria Info FM. So, but if you have any questions for Aho and I, just send to us. It's at our names at Aho Obo. At Rotimi Sankore. If not, next week, Friday, Aho will be in Ekiti. Live coverage plus updates on the vice presidential candidates, 4 p.m., 99.3, next Friday.
Okie dokie. So that's it. And the top of the hour, we're going to have the news. And after the news, Sammy and Ifeanyi come in for music and moments. Thank you very much, everyone who's joined the Public Square. We'll continue from this position next week when we have the vice presidential discussion. Please stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info. All right, Rotimi.
Yeah.